What are you looking for?
She's honest.
This is one of those times when you don't answer. It was a rhetorical question. Actually, it's really just the title of the sermon. So there you have it, okay? I've got to watch myself each and every Sunday. Never know what's going to happen in certain places in the sanctuary. So with that, we're going to go to the book of Numbers this morning, chapter 13. Chapter 13. And it's a story that might be familiar. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible, but I think it bears repeating as well as for us to see in our own personal lives, what are we looking for most days? What are we looking for? What are we looking at? That can make all the difference in our life, can it? Yes, it can. That one you can say yes to. We're going to go to Numbers chapter 13. This is the Israelites had come out of Egypt, so they had been set free from bondage. They had begged God to set them free, and so sure enough, God helped them cross the Red Sea, and they were on their way to the Promised Land. So each and every one of us in our daily walk and in our spiritual journey, we are on the way forward, right? On the way up, on the way going towards something good, God's promises. And God's promises, every last one of them have been fulfilled. And there's one more promise with Jesus coming back. It will be fulfilled as well someday. And in the meantime, we are moving forward, right? All the time. But that all depends on what you're looking at and looking for. I'll go to the story this morning. So the Israelites, Moses had told the Israelites said, we're going to go into the Promised Land. And the Israelites said to Moses, well, before we go there, we need to check that place out. We're not so sure we want to go there. Many of us that, you know, we're goal-oriented, or some of us in our life, we're a little on the control freak side. Before we trust God to move forward to something better, some of us want to scope out the land, right? If we were to tell the truth, right? You know, you don't just jump and go because God said to. Of course not. You wouldn't want to do that. That would take faith, right? So instead, we want some facts, don't we? Show me what's over there, God. And if it's good enough and I think it's going to work for me, I'm going. None of us do that, I know. But I'm just saying, this is what the Israelites did. This is what they said. So they said to Moses, we're not moving an inch until we see what's over there. So Moses said, okay, fine, I'll go talk to God. They had a conversation. God said, okay, send in some spies. Let them go scope out the land and bring back a report. So once they have the report, they'll be able to see what I see in that promised land. So God, you know, God is ready to answer our questions. If you don't know what the future holds, he'll say, okay, I'll give you a glimpse to help you move forward, right? Some of us need that. So see how God answered that prayer for the Israelites. So we'll pick up the story. It says, the Lord now said to Moses, send men to explore the land of Canaan, the land I am giving to Israel. Now, let's just look at that first sentence there in the scripture. This is a land that God is giving to Israel, right? Would there be anything bad in that land for the Israelites, would you think? God's got a trap there, right? God's got all this, you know, right? We know God is giving them what? A good land, a good future, right? We can always believe that promise of God, right? Yes, very good. This side's winning so far this morning. Excellent. Yeah, they're on the right side. Okay, never mind. Okay, so send one leader from each of the 12 ancestral tribes. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him, a great leader. Listened to God, did what God said. That's always the sign of a good leader. He sent out 12 men, all tribal leaders from Israel, from their camp in the wilderness of Paran. And then he lists the 12 tribes. One of the people there happened to be Shamu, Shaphat, Caleb, Igal, Hoshea, which his name was changed to Joshua, by the way, which means God is salvation. We know of Joshua later, right? Okay, a couple of familiar names. Palti, Gadiel, Gadi, Amiel, Sether, Nabi, and Gul. Those are the 12 leaders of the 12 tribes. So we got 12 spies. It would make a great, you know, majority rule, correct? All right. These are the names of the men Moses sent to explore the land. By this time, Moses had changed Hoshea's name to Joshua. Moses gave the men these instructions as he sent them out to explore the land. Go north through the Negev into the hill country. See what the land is like and find out whether the people living there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? Do their towns have walls or are they unprotected? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there many trees? Enter the land boldly and bring back samples of the crops you see. So they've got instructions. It happened to be the harvest time for the first ripe grapes. So obviously Moses is thinking those guys are going to go looking for grapes, for one thing. Because if it's a good land with good soil, they're going to find grapes. So what are they looking for? All right, so they understand that. They're also looking for some other things, aren't they? How weak, how strong are the people? How many are there? Do they have protection? Are these people that we could possibly overcome, right? So they're going to scope all these things out with specific instructions. So they went up and explored the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob and Lebanon. Going northward, they passed first through the Negev and arrived at Hebron, where Hanuman, Sheshi, and Talmi, all descendants of Anak, lived. The ancient towns of Hebron was founded 7 years before the Egyptian city of Zon. So this is a little history here. When they came to what is now known as the Valley of Eshcol, they cut down a cluster of grapes. So what's the first thing they found? Grapes. All right, mission accomplished. I found some grapes. Awesome. I found a cluster of grapes so large that it took two of them to carry it on a pole between them. Wow, these gotta be some monstrosity huge grapes. Two men on a pole, right? Probably 6-7 feet apart are carrying the weight of the grapes and the harvest of the grapes is so, they're so huge. They've never seen grapes like this before ever. They're humongous and they gotta carry them between two strong men. What do you think so far in the promised land? Wow, man. Oh, wow. There's grapes in there, baby. Wow. Big grapes. Lots and lots of grapes. Woo. They also took samples of the pomegranates and figs. Yum. Now, all three of those things were foods that the Israelites had fed upon. The pomegranate, just so you know, is probably the actual fruit that Adam and Eve ate. From the tree of the good of evil of knowledge. And the pomegranate has what inside of it? And what do seeds represent? Growth, more growth. So if you have a pomegranate and you got one seed, you got a full pomegranate rather with a lot of seeds, how many pomegranates can you get? A lot of pomegranates, right? Exactly. What's inside of figs? Seeds. Oh, more seeds. So we got, and what's inside of grapes? Seeds, unless you pay more and buy seedless ones, right? So far they're finding huge, humongous grapes with lots of seeds inside, pomegranates with lots of seeds, and figs with lots of seeds inside. And by the way, if you were ever in the desert or if you ever need food to sustain you, those three types of food will do so. We also now know that grapes have antioxidants in them, correct? Oh, yes, and they can heal our body, can't they, right? So if you want a pretty good diet, I'll throw it out there for you. Pomegranate, grapes, and figs. So far, how do you like the promised land so far, scouts? Woo, ready to go? Man, I can't wait to get there. Awesome. At that time, the Israelites renamed the Valley of Eshcol, Cluster. because of the cluster of grapes they had cut there. They were so impressed by those huge grapes, they said, we're going to rename this place. We're going to call it Grape City. Yeah, baby. Awesome. After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the people of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had seen, and they showed them the fruit they had taken from the land. And what did the crowd say? Wow! Look at the size of those grapes, baby! Open up the pomegranate. Look at the seeds in there. And these figs, they're humongous. They're awesome. We have just got to leave today and go, right? Yeah, baby, we're going to the... So far, so good, right? Awesome. How many of you are ready to go into Promised Land right now? Woo, we got a great church here this morning. Excellent. Awesome. All right, I wish God had sent us, right? Huh? Mm-hmm. This was their report to Moses. We arrived in the land you sent us to see, and it is indeed a magnificent country, a land flowing with milk and honey, grapes, pomegranate, figs, milk, honey. Who could ask for anything more? Everything we need is in this. It's flowing. Everything we need to be sustained and cared for, it's in this place. Awesome. How many of you are ready to go now? Oh, beautiful. I feel so good about this, don't you? Wow. Here is some of its fruit as proof. Ha. Right before their eyes, those two men go, oh, man, I got to get these grapes off my shoulder. Right? They made grape jam, grape jelly. They made grape jam, grape jelly. There's no whining in the Promised Land. Oh. Oh, wait. Next word. Uh-oh. I see a bad word in the Bible. I never thought I would see a bad word in the Bible, but I am now. But. Bad word. But. But the people living there are powerful, and their cities are and towns are fortified and very large. Ruh-roh. The people are bigger than the grapes. We also saw the descendants of Anak who are living there. Oh, no, those descendants, those awful people, people that hurt us and harmed us, they're bigger than us. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country all more. The Tites are there. The Canaanites live among the coasts of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. What's happening to us? Next word. A good word in the Bible. But... See, it's all a question of how you use it in a sentence, isn't it? But there are bad people there, big people there, trouble there, bad butt. But Caleb tried to encourage the people as they stood before Moses. Oh, thank God for Caleb. A good butt came out from Caleb. He talked to the people and said, wait a minute. Look at what the guys brought back. Look at the things we saw. We saw great and enormous grapes, figs, pomegranates, milk, and honey. Right? What did he see? That. What did the other 12, 10 people see? Because we know Joshua has also a similar butt, doesn't he, as Caleb. Joshua and Caleb have great butts. Yes. What did the 10 see? Something big and scary. What did giants? Well, I'll keep reading. You want to read the story, right? And here's what he says. Let's go at once to take the land. See, right away he knows that the people are starting to do what? Question. Get a little afraid. They're not looking at the grapes anymore right in front of their eyes. What are they looking at? The big, bad, ugly things that they're afraid of. Their fear has now blocked their vision. They're not looking at grapes, pomegranates, or figs, milk, or honey. They're looking at the possibility that somebody bigger than them could destroy them. They're looking at their fears, right? And see, Caleb realizes that because the very next sentence is this. He says, let's go at once to take the land before you think about it. Right? See, you know, when you start thinking about the bad stuff that's out there in our world or in your life or whatever might be in front of you, if you put your mind on that, if you look at only that, the what ifs, I call them what if downs. What if this goes wrong? What if that goes wrong? What if they get us? What if they hurt us? What if? That's, you know, thinking downwardly, right? Our fears, making the fears bigger than what? Our faith. When we start thinking too much about what could be go wrong, as opposed to what could go right, what's right in front of us, what God's showing us that God is going to provide right in front of us. Had God already provided for the Israelites? Oh, prior to this, oh, he only parted the Red Sea, remember? How soon we forget. How soon they forget. And so Caleb wants them to move quickly. See, I believe in this. Whenever an opportunity comes your way for something better in your life, move quickly. Don't think about it. Take action. Move. Because before you know it, some people might just point out everything that's wrong with it. Right? We call them naysayers. Nay, you'll never make it. And it's not a horse's nay. It's more like a donkey. And there's other words for that, right? So, whenever God is wanting to move you to something better, something greater, some challenge he puts before you and says, here, I want you to go forward. I want you to try this new way of living. Go after this particular ministry. Go after becoming this kind of a person. Follow me wherever I lead you. Very often, if well-meaning people will point out all the reasons why you shouldn't or couldn't or can't. But I know and believe that success comes in cans, not in cans. And so like Caleb says, let's go at once. Because here's what he says next. We can certainly conquer it. Who's the we? Caleb and who? God. With Christ, we can do all things, right? With Christ's strength, we can do all things, as it said later in Scripture, right? With God's help, we can do anything. Whatever's in your life that you need to conquer or overcome or you think is overcoming you, with God's strength and power, you can conquer it. Yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
Awesome. We'll practice next week. Before service. Oh, no, here comes that bad butt again. Oh, next verse. But the other men who had explored the land with him answered, we can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. So they spread discouraging reports about the land among the Israelites. How many people saw a good report? Two, Joshua and Caleb. How many were they outnumbered by the other 10? Absolutely. Who spread the report? Those 10. Do you know that fear moves in numbers? Who's more strong? Oh, God. Is God stronger than those 10? Is God stronger than the 10 problems that you have? Can you conquer anything in your life with God? Yes, I can. Yes, we can. But the discouragers are going to be around us, aren't they? They're everywhere in the world today. You cannot find a place on this world right now that you can get away from the discouraging reports that people want to put upon us as a people. And especially as believers in God. And there's always somebody or something wanting to discourage you and hold you back and hold you down and keep you from speaking out, speaking up, standing up, and conquering whatever it is that you're to conquer so that you can move forward. Who are we going to listen to? All right. All right. The land we explored will swallow us up if we ever go to live there. Doom and gloom. They should change the names of these guys to doom and gloom. Maybe that's what that means in Hebrew. All the people we saw were huge. Much bigger than us. Do you sometimes feel this big in this world today? Do you sometimes feel like you don't matter? Your voice doesn't matter. Your opinion doesn't matter. Your work doesn't matter. Your courage doesn't matter. Your calling doesn't matter. Your ministry doesn't matter. You don't matter because so many of the problems in our world today are so huge that we ought to just sit back and just take whatever's thrown our way and settle where we are. There's some good butts in here. But God, no matter what's happening in our world, in our life, in your life or mine, God has the final say. And God is more powerful than anything on this planet. Period. End of sentence. Oh, exclamation point in red. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. We felt like grasshoppers next to them. Yep. Some people seem to be a lot more powerful than us, don't they? Some people have higher positions than us, don't they? Some people are in places of power that we seem to think we need to cower down to them and be afraid of them. There are problems in our life that seem huger than any one of us can ever solve. Diseases that seem to never be able to ever be cured. Problems that we know that seem have been plaguing us will be there forever. We seem to think sometimes as we look at the problems and we look at those things and we look at those, we feel like grasshoppers in comparison. Really teeny small. Like someone we could be crushed like a bug, right? Isn't that how we feel sometimes? We felt like grasshoppers next to them, and that's what we look like to them. They just flick us away like we don't, right? So what happens to the Israelites? What happens to them in their mind now? Where's my wow team? Where did my wow team go? Well. Listen, whatever you're looking for will determine what you will see and then what you will feel. Each and every one of you and I and all of us, we need constantly not to be looking at the big, bad problems that are out there that seem bigger than us or all the things that we think are going to happen to us in our what-if down thinking. What do we need to be looking at? God. We need to be looking at, did anybody remember the grapes? Where did they go? What happened to the pomegranates? Figs, milk, honey. See, when you're not motivated to change or to grow or to believe in God, I don't know where all that fits. If you don't have a reason that's strong enough to do something great If the reason isn't something that will cause you to stay up at night and work all day and stay up all night the next day, and you're passionate about it, like saving souls, for example, lifting people up, for example, rising people up from a place where they feel small into a place of greatness where God really sees them. If you don't have a good reason, you're going to look for excuses. Your fears will become bigger than your faith. It's what you're looking at, right? When you think about your future life with God, do you see giants that scare you? Giant problems, giant bills, giant illnesses, giant problems and discouragement? Is that what you see? I hear the good butts over here. Or do you see grapes? Remember the grapes? Grapes? Are you looking at the grapes in your life? See, I know all of you today, you're going to go to the store, and there's going to be a run on grapes. There's going to be on the news later today. There'll be a report at all the Publixes and all the Winn-Dixies and all the Costcos and the Sams and the, am I leaving out a store? Aldi's, I don't know, wherever you guys shop. All of a sudden, there'll be something on the news that the market has climbed on the sale of grapes and the price of grapes is going to skyrocket and all the grape farmers are going to go, wow, what happened? Christ the cornerstone grapers. Because grapes lead to great. You'll never think about a grape again in the same way. When you look, whatever you're looking at in your life, and it could be your spouse, it could be your friends, it could be your church. If you're looking at all the negatives in a person, for example, what are you going to see? Somebody's going to see grapes. See, the reason the Israelites felt like grasshoppers, they were looking at the wrong things. They probably went into that promised land with the mindset. They didn't want to go, remember? They were looking for a reason not to go, weren't they? An excuse to stay where they were, weren't they? Right? Those 10 people wanted to stay behind. And you know what happens to them, by the way, after this in the scriptures? What do you suppose? They got to stay behind. They never made it to the promised land. Our attitude, what we're looking for and looking at in all of our lives, determines how we feel. And how we feel determines how we then act. And how we act determines on what we do. And what we do determines how far we go, right? But if we want to stay stuck and be afraid of the giants that are out there, we get to stay where we are. Where were the people headed? Somewhere better? Promised land? A land overflowing with milk and honey? Grapes? Pomegranates? Figs? Let's not forget. Oh, my God, you're going to go shopping today. I can't imagine. If you lived your life knowing that in everything God produces on the planet, some of which is fruit, when you open up those things and you see the seeds inside, that shows me and you that life is to go on. That there's multiplication always with God. Never subtraction and never division. Always multiplication and addition. Those are the only kind of math that God knows how to do. And it's all a question on us. We become responsible for what we look at in our lives. Because what you seek, you will find. Listen, if you don't want to move forward with your life and grow spiritually speaking, that's okay. You're just going to miss out on some huge blessings and lots of growth where you now share what's inside of you and feed that to others. See, the purpose of all those seeds was not just for that generation. It was to multiply it beyond Moses and all the Israelites, right? And that's what a church is. We are seed planters. How do we plant more seeds? Well, we become a pomegranate, a grape, and a great grape, and a fig. Seeds inside of each and every one of us and you. All of us have those inside us, planted there by God. We call it the fruit of the Spirit later, right? And it's designed, God didn't just put a seed in us. He put a multiplicity of them. So we can share good news with others and lift up people and encourage people that God has a plan, a good plan, to give you a great and awesome life. Your responsibility in this, hopefully I pray, that we outnumber the naysayers. That it only takes two people, maybe even just one, to change the world. One voice, one person with a passion and a belief in God can move mountains, can't they? One person can save the entire world, can't they? Jesus Christ, right? And because we have Christ in us, we have seeds inside of each and every one of us that we can give encouragement to one another. So as a church senior pastor, and to those listening, I'm putting a moratorium on naysaying. Please don't give me your opinions about what won't work. Please don't tell me how we can't do this or can't do that. Because we don't operate this church by ourselves, by what we can do or what I can do. It's about what God can do within us. And God has a promise for this church to reach out and touch the lives of many. We've already touched the lives of thousands over the last 25 years. And there's thousands more that we don't even know that God has already touched and will continue to touch. And I pray this morning that God touches you this morning and gives you a positive attitude and a good butt. Whenever you're faced with a problem, show that problem your good butt. But God will see me through. But God can change this situation. But God can step in. But God can conquer anything. But my God is stronger than anything or anyone that ever comes against me. But God has the victory, and so do we. So what are you going to look at this morning, church, or for the rest of your life? Because I'm putting that upon you now. And so somebody's going to bring some people with good butts into our church. I can see that now. Thank God this is a G-rated church, right? B-U-T. I'll have to spell it out there. See, we can look at our fears or we can look at our faith. Please, what are you looking at day by day? Please keep your eyes on God and God's power. Joshua and Caleb, by the way, when they went into the promised land, they didn't get to go right then as Caleb wanted. Many of you haven't moved, even though some of us have kind of tried to jostle you along or move you forward however we can. That's okay. But you know what happened with Joshua and Caleb? They got to that promised land. You know what? When they got there, what they got and received from God? A double portion. Faith has its rewards. The more faithful you are in the sense of believing in God and God's promises, the more you stand fast against your fears and you stop looking at the giants and you look at the grapes and the power of God instead, and you use the seeds within you to share with other people and feed them, God blesses you double, 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 double. So are we today ready to be the positive thinkers that God is calling us to be? What are you looking at? God. Grapes. Grapes, figs, and pomegranates. And I don't know when they got to the promised land, whether they took some of those big honkering grapes and threw them right in the guy's head and he fell forward. I have no idea. It's not scriptural. But I don't know about you. When I see God do something great in my life, I hold on to that and say, if God helped me here, he'll help me there. Right? So I pray this day that each and every one of you are granted a good butt today by God. And be somebody when somebody butts you with a bad butt, you butt them right back with God. With God, all things are possible. And yes, we can.